They abandoned their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No!
And good evening, everyone. You should be getting sound now. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Vaughan. It's been a while since we're on here. It's just due to the fact we've tried to do a live pwnage on Google Hangouts, and it didn't work so well. We almost got shut down. Yes, I do know there's no sound, everyone. It will come in a second. Just to let everyone know, tonight, no calls or any of that, so we don't need to go through the legal disclaimers for, you know, if you want to call in and that. Just to let everyone know, this show is public domain. Feel free to copy and distribute it, and as also with regards to the material we're using tonight, we are using it under the fair use provision of copyright law, and we are using it in a transformative way for the purposes of criticism. And with that, I'll introduce a very much reduced panel. We've had a few dropouts this week, but we'll get there, hopefully, with what's to come. Introducing the New World Order, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, that's good.
For now.
Yeah, well, you know the NWO, it's never happy with anything. And also, Big Farmer, what are you up to?
Hi there, I'm doing fantastic. Would anyone like any drugs?
I think we'll need...
You know, some Vicodin, maybe some Viagra.
I think we might get back to you on that one. I think that it's very likely we'll be demanding some drugs by the end of this. So, just to let everyone know, this is the live pwnage where we take a look at some of the more fanciful documentaries out there with regards to pseudoscience, creationism and all that. And we have a critical look at it. So what will happen is the movie will play, and if any of us has any objections to it, we'll just shout the words, which you'll become very accustomed to over the next, I don't know how long this is going to take, but you'll hear the word stop a lot coming up. So...
Oh, please, God, tell me now.
Yes. Tonight we are looking at a guy who's sort of well-loved at the tool offices, the one and only Mike Health Ranger Adams and his documentary, in the loosest possible terms, The God Within. So, without further ado, shall we begin, guys?
Well, I'd just like to add one little thing. I've actually tried to watch this in order to do my own pwnage of it, and I rage quit after about 10 minutes and gave up. Yeah. So that should set the standards for this is.
From what I've seen, we're going to get a very angry Marty because there's some serious abuse of physics in this.
Ooh, yeah.
This is coming from a guy who has made, I don't know how many videos on spirit science, so this is going to be hilariously stupid if he can't hack 10 minutes.
Okay, the build-up's probably killing our audience, so let's get started.
The God Within. Physics, cosmology, consciousness, and the search for truth. I've always admired physicists. They seek answers by asking questions of nature, and when they follow a rigorous scientific approach to the quest for knowledge, they refuse to be sidelined by dogma, personal belief, or trickery. Science, in its most pure form, is about the search for truth. I'm not referring to the bastardization of science by modern corporations, which
stop
the language of science.
Is that laughter?
Corporations. When corporations use science, they need it to work because they want to make a profit at the end of it. They're not going to invest in research that doesn't work.
I was going to say, I couldn't tell if that was laughter or tears that you were going through.
This.
All right.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Science to push a kind of intellectual tyranny involving for-profit GMOs, vaccines.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god.
There are no words.
Science isn't... Yeah. Science is not a tyranny in any sort of way. You get found out really, really, really easy if you have shit results. That's why any anti-GMO paper, for example, the recent retracted Cerlani paper, gets found out pretty goddamn fast. In fact, I remember when that paper came out, the next day Nature had an article basically rebutting the entire paper.
Mm-hmm. But that was never reported by anyone. Anyway,
anyone serious?
Yeah.
Except for maybe the Young Turks, but Jesus, they're bad on GMOs.
Okay, shall we carry on?
Oh, yes.
Sure.
I'm talking about pure, non-corporate driven science and the quest for human understanding.
Stop. Well, no, not really.
All right.
I just wanted to comment that, yeah, that non-corporate driven science is usually done in universities, and all of them pretty much say that you're full of crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But I found the most fertile ground for exploration in the fields of quantum physics.
Stop!
This is going to take forever.
You know when you hear the word quantum physics in one of these videos, you know where they're going straight away, and you know it's not going to be nice.
He's going to start talking about consciousness and oh man. just get on with it.
And the study of consciousness.
I hate being right.
Physicist Stephen Hawking and co-author Leonard Mlodinow. As a fan of Hawking's work over the years, I relished the idea of reading his explanations of the theory of everything, the grand design, the invisible hand behind it all.
What?
In his book, however,
the invisible hand? What? No?
I think what he was implying was he was hoping that Hawking was, you know, going to come out in favor of intelligent design or something like that. He obviously
Hawking in the East?
He's never explicitly said it, but he basically is. I mean, a lot of the things he said, it would be a huge, massive surprise if he wasn't. He's never actually come out and said, no, you know, I don't believe in God, but it's pretty much...
Well, he basically does say that. He's one of those people who say he can't say that God doesn't exist, but he can definitely say that God is not necessary.
But he does refer to God in some of his books, but it is in a very
metaphorically.
Yeah, it's kind of almost like the way Einstein used to do.
Yeah.
However, rather surprised me. On the very first page of the book, I found myself quite disappointed in the apparent lack of understanding of the universe from...
Stop.
Yes.
Did he just really just say that Stephen Hawking does not understand, or really does not lacks understanding?
Yep. Mike Adams is kind of claiming he knows better than Hawking on this subject.
Yeah.
Is he really going to do that? Is he really that arrogant?
Yeah.
Evidently.
Yes, he is.
I think we can sum this up as the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Yeah.
Maxed to the extreme.
Oh, yeah.
As intellectually capable as Hawking. As you'll soon see, his words reflect what can only be called the great failing of modern-day physics to address the meaning behind the math. Far too many mainstream physicists seem stuck in what can only be called the Newtonian era of consciousness.
What? The study of consciousness is in neuroscience. Or psychology, or philosophy. And no one is stuck in the Newtonian era of anything. Except maybe high school students who haven't gotten further than that.
But, you know, as I understand, Newton's laws are still, they're still useful at some levels.
Yeah, Sure, but no one believes that they are, you know, the end all.
Yeah, everyone kind of
Everyone knows that they're only an approximation that is useful when things are big enough and slow enough.
Yeah, and like I say, and it's been updated since then. We have relativity, and Big Pharma's gone down there, as you can all see. So I'm just left with a new world order here, so we'll get through it.
Yeah.
Okay, carry on.
They don't yet grasp the idea that consciousness exists at all.
Okay, we'll have to stop there. They don't grasp the idea consciousness exists at all.
I think, therefore, I am conscious.
Yeah, I think pretty much scientists do accept consciousness exists. It's pretty difficult to deny that fact. I mean, if Lundy was here, he could probably get into, like, the hardcore, physics, you know, sorry, oh God, I've lost my train of thought already, this thought's causing me. No, but like hardcore philosophical arguments, they could probably argue about exist. But like, it pretty much does exist, we know that, don't we? And we're back, I think. Like, we'll just wait for the chat room to confirm. Please,
yeah, there we go.
Someone in the chat room say chemtrails, if you can hear us. We want chemtrails now. We need chemtrails.
There's a delight. There we go.
We're getting chemtrails. That's awesome. Okay.
And that's about to be quote mines.
Yeah, we're going to be quote mines. Alright, sorry everyone. I don't know. I don't know.
There was a server glitch, apparently. Something went wrong with Vaughn.
Stupid kill
temporarily.
Well, yeah. We've got the New World Order and Big Pharma on the show here, so it's got to be one of you wanted this closed down for some reason.
I think it was the Illuminati.
All right. Oh, yeah.
We're both here, so we're busy.
Yep. They feel a bit shunned by not being invited on, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we did invite them. I mean, they just said they had some things to do. Maybe they were talking about this. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. We didn't lose anything because I think we kind of paused just as everything went doolally there. So shall we continue?
Yeah, we'll just have to say that you missed a few seconds, but they will be in the upload.
Yeah, they'll be in the recording. So let's carry on.
Or free will, or the spooky connectedness that has been experimentally demonstrated to exist between all things in the universe.
Stop. Not between all things. The spooky connectedness that he's talking about is quantum entanglement, which is not between all things. It's between pairs of entangled particles. Which only works at the quantum scale, by the way, because as soon as things get two entangled particles move too far away from each other, they will start interacting with other things, and then the connection between them will break anyway. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
And just as an announcement, I've had a PM from the Vaughn mods, and they said it was the main server went down. It was a glitch. So, well, thanks for updating us. So a lot of the other places we've tried streaming, I wouldn't even bother to let you know that. So thanks very much, Vaughn.
Sure.
Thanks. Yeah, it's good. I'm being genuine here. I'm not being sarcastic. I know most people can't tell the difference. But all right, let's carry on.
Because that brings up too many questions that make conventional physicists uncomfortable. Questions about God, or the intersection of intention with the physical universe, or free will. They even have a name for their cover story. It's called the Copenhagen Interpretation, and it can be summarized as...
That's not a cover story.
Yeah. What is the Copenhagen
Interpretation? That's an explanation.
Okay, the Copenhagen Interpretation basically is... I believe he's going to actually explain it himself, though. Shut up and do the math.
Yeah.
Just do the math, and you'll get an accurate prediction, and that's all that matters. That seems to imply that the observer collapses the wave function or something like that, which is really, really weird. It doesn't make any sense, from an intuitive perspective. It just seems really weird, but don't bother explaining it. just do the math and you'll see that it all works out in the end. And it does. And this is how you solve problems in quantum mechanics in, well, when you start dabbling with it in high school, when you start studying it in college. In fact, I've never had to apply anything but the Copenhagen interpretation to any problem myself, but it's not intellectually satisfying. That's the problem.
Yeah. Okay, carry on.
Yeah.
As shut up and calculate. The Copenhagen interpretation of quantum physics is essentially an intellectual security blanket under which physicists can focus on the narrow mathematics of their calculations without having to be bothered by the bigger questions that inevitably invoke the realm of philosophy.
That's exactly. Where stop.
Well, there's a reason that physicists don't want to do philosophy.
Exactly. The problem is that when you start looking at the, you know, the implications of quantum mechanics that you can't actually address scientifically, of course you're going to go into philosophy. And there's sort of a gray zone there between science and philosophy, where philosophers don't know enough physics to deal with it, and physicists don't know enough philosophy to deal with it. But ultimately, it doesn't matter in terms of what predictions we make with quantum mechanics.
Yeah. Where Stephen Hawking's book begins, by the way, on page 1, he writes, "Philosophy is dead. Philosophy has not kept up with modern developments in science."
Hold on. 1 second. I'm just getting the book.
Yeah, and also, I think there's a lot of people actually sort of disagreed with that statement by Hawking as well, scientists.
I am almost certain that he's misquoting. Well, first of all, it's not on page 1. Page 1 is blank. The mystery of the beings chapter is called... Let's see here. What was the quote?
Philosophy is dead.
Philosophy is dead.
Someone's saying it's actually in chapter 3. Anyway, I think we'll just carry on with the video.
That would explain chapter 3. That might explain it.
Yeah, I think we should carry on with the video because this.
I'll try to find it. I'm pretty sure he's misquoting anyway.
Yeah.
Particularly physics. Philosophy is dead? It's a stunning statement, not so much in its abruptness, but in its arrogance, which presumes that philosophy's success can only be measured by the degree to which it keeps up with physics.
I'm going to have to say one thing here. See, that's just Hawking's opinion. It's not like there's plenty of other scientists who are very happy to work with philosophers, and we've had them on our show. Like there's Vic Stenger, there's Massimo Pigliucci, there was last week's guest Russell Blackford. You know, there are plenty of them. I think, you know, Mike Adams has found the one that kind of fits his agenda here. And like, well, you know, I almost called him Hoven. Sorry, Stephen. you better run me over with your wheelchair.
You just sign your own death sentence.
Yes, you can run me over with your wheelchair at your leisure for that one, I think. But no, like, Hawking, he's probably not, I think he's not that philosophically minded. He is a brilliant physicist, but he's not a good philosopher. And there are some, like I said, Vic Stenger, he's a great physicist and philosopher.
Correct. And I'm sorry, I can't find the quote now.
Yeah, I think we'll just leave the quote.
But anyway, what I do remember is that the context of it was philosophy is dead in the context of learning about, what is the universe or something like that. Philosophy has stopped providing useful answers, and physics keeps shitting out useful answers. Yeah. That's what he's referring to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't find it right now. I apologize.
Right, let's carry on.
Go on.
Conventional physicists, it turns out, largely believe that physics alone can explain everything. The grand design, as it goes, will become apparent if we can only work out the math. The mystery of being will be understood through the study of subatomic particles and the tiny fractions of moments that unfurled immediately after the Big Bang. One chapter in Hawking's book is actually the theory of everything. Really? Everything? Not just physics stuff, but everything else, too?
Okay, stop. I think we all know that he's massively overstating the case there, Mike Adams.
Oh, yeah. The theory of everything is simply a name given to this sort of holy grail of physics, which would explain all the laws of nature in one theory.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean a theory of everything, including philosophy, for example.
Yeah. Kitsch, have you got anything to say there, or are you alive? All right, I think that's enough.
I can't brain.
Okay, we'll carry on.
I find that a bit hard to believe, given that a typical quantum physicist probably doesn't even know what's in a hot dog, much less the entire universe. But please excuse my attempt at humor. Just so you know, I'm taking this seriously. Let's consider the definition of physics itself. The Collins English Dictionary defines physics as the branch of science concerned with the properties of matter and energy and the relationships between them. It is based on mathematics and traditionally includes mechanics, optics, electricity, and magnetism, acoustics, and heat. There is no dictionary that defines physics as the study of all that is. I've checked. The very idea that physics accounts for everything actually seems, well, a bit arrogant. But that's not new in the field of...
Yeah, I think we've already covered this, but...
Physics. No one is saying that it explains everything. It explains everything in the now.
Okay, Marty, you're breaking up a little bit there.
But I can complete it.
The natural world has all the answers about the natural world. All the answers that we know of.
Yeah.
And those we don't know of, well, either we will never know them, or this study will lead to us finding them.
Mm-hmm. Physics either. Top physicists have a long history of thinking they had it all figured out. There is nothing new to be discovered in physics now, uttered Lord Kelvin in 1894. He continued, all that remains is more and more precise measurement. The God particle isn't a particle. Stephen Hawking is a brilliant man in his field and probably a very sincere and well-meaning human.
Yeah, that was completely random, that statement there, wasn't it?
God, yeah, that kind of came out of left field.
First of all, if he's talking about the Higgs boson, yes, it is a particle, in the same sense that any quantum particle is.
Yeah. Okay, let's
go.
It just comes right out of left field.
But as brilliant as he may be in the world of physics, he has misunderstood the boundaries of one particular approach to the search for truth. To say philosophy is dead is to disavow the big questions philosophy seeks to answer, questions that cannot be asked through the study of physics alone. What?
Well, no shit. That's all I've got to say there. You know, there's questions physics can't answer, and there's questions philosophy can answer. This isn't really a revelation as such.
What is consciousness? Is there a God? What happens after death? How do we know what we know? What does it mean to exist? Can love...
These are philosophical questions.
How does consciousness interact with matter and
answer them? Physics doesn't ask these questions.
Are we here? Are these questions now considered so unimportant that the entire branch of knowledge-seeking under which they appear is to be discarded?
No.
Yes, by physicists, because they're not in that field.
Yes.
Idiot.
It's such a shame Lundy isn't here, because I think he'd be hitting his head off the walls right now with this crap.
Yep. Yeah.
by conventional physicists? Or is it that physicists believe firing up the nearest super collider will magically reveal their desperately sought God particle, which will answer all the questions for?
And guess what happened? You can obviously tell when this video was
they
made.
They found it.
Yes. So do you honestly think Mike Adams will just take this video back and say, I was wrong, folk?
No, he'll probably say that it's a lie. The Illuminati made it up.
It's a false flag.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a GMO.
The Copenhagen interpretation, remember, provides a convenient exit for avoiding tackling these questions at all.
No,
shut up and talk.
Does he know what the God particle actually is supposed to explain?
No, I'm willing to bet he doesn't have a clue.
No, and for the record, it has to do with why matter has mass.
Yeah, that's all it's about, really.
And it's called the God particle, supposedly, because someone who thought it was difficult to find referred to it as the goddamn particle, but apparently that got censored.
Yeah, it was actually someone writing a book about the whole search for it. And Peter Higgs and many other physicists have come out strongly against that name of it.
Yeah,
they
absolutely
really hate it being called that.
Wait, but don't ask anything too spooky. The fact that the ever-so-mysterious God particle is even named the God particle is, by itself, an enlightening commentary on the disappointing degree of delusion now running rampant through the conventional physics community.
No, we just...
Irony.
Oh, jeez.
I think we just broke the irony meter.
Yes.
The God particle name is wrong on both counts. It isn't God, and it's not even a particle.
Marty.
It is a particle, you fucking retard.
And no one suggested it was a god.
It's just a nickname for a... What was at the time a hypothetical particle?
Yeah,
we found it.
And you can, as we keep saying, you can go to the guy who proposed this particle and ask him about the name God particle, and he hates it being called that. He is very vocal that it shouldn't be called that at all.
In fact, the branch of physics known as particle physics doesn't study particles at all.
Marty.
Actually, yeah, that's why it's called particle physics, you dumb shit.
This is just getting unreal.
Is he actually trying to say that because we have learned that particles aren't tiny little balls or something, but that they have wave-like properties, then therefore they're not particles?
I think so.
Hey, even Z60 could be given wavelength.
Shut the it's this simple. We see this phenomenon in nature. We label it particles, okay? Then we study it further, and we discover that, hey, these things were different than we initially thought. That doesn't change the label we put on it.
As any practical physicist will readily admit, every time they look for particles, they only see vibrating waves of energy. Or
Marty again, I think.
I'm looking for something to hang myself with.
I'm getting cancer now.
I want to watch Spirit Science right now.
Oh, jeez. Can you catch, please say something? Myself and Marty are dying here.
I've got a bottle of rum beside me.
He's just saying...
Open.
How far into this are we?
We're 7 minutes in. Marty, this whole... They're vibrating things of energy... Is what the hell is he on about or misinterpreting? Or shall we just play and see if he explains? Yes, I think we'll play and see if he explains this.
Flickering hints of structured probability waves that vanish in billionths of a second. What does seem to be found behind the curtain of so-called particle physics is, to the great surprise of many scientists, the ever-mysterious issue of consciousness. Consciousness is what appears to collapse waves of probability into seemingly real particles.
No!
You know, the interesting thing here is that that could be one way to interpret the Copenhagen interpretation. That the observer causes the wave function collapse. And that it needs to be a conscious observer. All you have to do is add that. Because frankly, if it's not a conscious observer, then no one knows about it, so it doesn't matter. So that is a valid way to interpret, well, a valid interpretation of an interpretation. Mm-hmm. But that's all it is. And guess what? You just said that it was wrong.
Goals in our seemingly real world. Without consciousness, the observer, there's nothing to translate the apparent laws of physics into observable, testable events in the first place. And at a deeper level, there is exciting evidence now emerging which hints that consciousness is physics in a way similar to E equals MC squared, which of course explains that energy is matter, just in a different form.
What does he mean consciousness is physics? Yeah. Is he going Matrix?
He's going Deepak. That's where he's
going. That's Deepak-ese. And by the way, energy... Did he say that energy is matter? Actually, I would say it's the other way around. But E equals MC square is called an energy-matter equivalence.
Yeah.
It's not that energy and matter are the same thing. They are equivalent. They're related to each other through the constant, the speed of light squared. Mm-hmm. And yes, Gothic Master, I also love Einstein.
Let's carry on.
What seems increasingly clear in all this is that physics cannot be fully explained without taking consciousness into consideration. And that's a rabbit hole most conventional physicists don't wish to explore, at least not when their careers and academic reputations are on the line.
Yeah. Why? Of course their careers are going to be on the line if they chase that stuff.
And the reason their careers will be on the line if they go there is that this has actually been studied. Nothing significant has been found. The entire field of parapsychology has had 150 years, and it has produced exactly nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We are all just robots.
What?
Stephen Hawking does not believe in consciousness.
Actually, I'm a living organism.
Yeah.
Nor free will. He quite literally believes we are all just deterministic robot machines who behave as if we were biological puppets driven by predictable and mechanistic biochemical impulses. Here's what he says. Though we feel that we can choose what we do, our understanding of the molecular basis of biology shows that biological processes are governed by the laws of physics and chemistry, and therefore are as determined as the orbits of the planets. Recent experiments in neuroscience support the view that it is our physical brain, following the known laws of science, that determines our actions, and not some agency that exists outside those laws.
Correct.
And there you have it. Hawking stating that he utterly denies the existence of the mind, or consciousness.
No, that is not what I get from that quote at all.
What?
In any way. That is, you have to have such an incredibly creative interpretation of that.
Yeah, you have to make sure.
He just jumped the shark.
I mean,
what he said is perfectly compatible with, what's it called? is it called compatibilism? That you accept determinism, but you still accept free will as well within the confines of it. Personally, I don't, but I think free will is a useless concept.
Yeah.
But we're talking about philosophy, and Stephen Hawking is a physicist. I'm going to kill this guy. No, not literally, but
no.
I
you need to get some booze, Marty.
Mm-hmm.
Or a connection with spirit, or anything other than the deterministic clockwork of biochemical determinism that he calls our brain. Hawking is not alone in this bizarre belief. Of course, the vast majority of conventional scientists and physicists also believe that human beings are mere biochemical robots with no souls, no consciousness, and no free will. Francis Crick, the co-discoverer of DNA, said that awareness was nothing more than a feeling generated in the brain.
Kitsch.
And he was not a neuroscientist nor a philosopher, so who cares?
Yeah, Kitsch, you've got a bit of knowledge about Francis Crick, do you?
Exactly.
Kitsch? Are you there, Kitsch? Yes, you are.
I don't know too much about Francis Crick, but I know a little bit about Watson.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Even if Crick did hold that belief, he's probably he's as Madame said, he's wrong.
Yeah, he knows a lot about biochem and DNA and all that, but he'll be plain wrong on a lot of other things.
Hello.
Yes, Kitsch. I don't think you can hear us.
I think the time Skype's crashed again.
I think there's a delay.
There's a delay, Kitsch. Can you please hang up and rejoin us when you get that message? We'll carry on.
He says, you, your joys and sorrows, your memories and your ambitions, your sense of personal identity and free will, are in fact no more than the behavior of a vast assembly of nerve cells and their associated molecules. He wrote that in his book, The Astonishing Hypothesis.
Stop.
But if
I would just like to say that, first of all, I never thought I would use this to refer to what a scientist has said, but Captain Kirk says, what does God need with a starship?
Yeah. How do you interpret that to saying we're robots?
And what's the relevance? What does this have to do with the subject at hand?
Yeah, and I'll just take this minute to say, if there's anyone in the audience that wants to know more about this whole robots and intelligence thing, listen to last week's show. We had a guest who explained all this really well. Hello, Kitsch, can you hear us okay now? No, you can't. He's gone again. So, Kitsch is on an Xbox One, by the way, which might explain all the problems we're having with him. But yeah, go listen to Russell Blackford. He covers all this stuff really, really well. I was going to say I wish he was here, but I honestly don't want to inflict this on him. He's too nice a guy.
No, you just inflict this on me.
And most other conventional scientists believe that they themselves are biochemical robots with no souls and no free will. Then who do they believe wrote their books?
What?
Does not follow. That, do you know non sequitur?
Hang on. Is he... Okay, I'm trying to dial the IQ down here so I can understand him. Did he actually say that if free will doesn't exist, then the guy who wrote the book didn't write the book?
Yeah.
Well, that's just silly.
I never thought of it. I never thought, even with all I read on Mike Adams, that I would say, even Ray Comfort wouldn't say anything as stupid as that. That is saying something now.
I mean, if I write a book, then I wrote that book. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Now, if free will exists or not is completely separate from whether I wrote the book or not.
Yeah, that's like saying...
And for the record, I never got this far into this.
Yeah, and that's like saying if we don't believe in free will, who is doing this show right now? If we don't believe in free will, who is in the chat room? That is essentially what he's on about.
Yeah.
It's...
Was Hawking's Grand Design book merely a spontaneous regurgitation of neurological ricochets cascading through his head without any intention behind them?
That was me facepalming, by the way.
Yep. And your birds have gone silent now as well, I hear, so even there. I think we're inflicting pain on Marty's poor dinosaurs with this.
And if so, then the book must, by definition, be a mindless account of physics. Or more precisely, in writing that human beings are biochemical robots, Hawking hasn't merely lost his mind, he never believed he had one to begin with.
Is there anything you can say to that?
I have no words.
This...
What did I miss?
You lucky bastard. This is got... It's like I say, Kitch, what we're hearing right now, I can honestly say Ray Comfort wouldn't go to this level. He would not make...
Jordan wouldn't.
I mean... Oh, Jesus. I can't... Basically,
it's Kitch, official.
Yeah. Kitch,
this guy is worse than Jordan.
And Ray
what?
Ray Comfort and Kent Hovind. None of them would make an argument as dumb as what he's just made. Basically, Kitch, his argument is...
In the video.
Sorry?
Sorry, go on.
His argument is basically that if free will doesn't exist, like for Stephen Hawking, if he doesn't believe in free will, then who wrote Stephen Hawking's book?
And how long do we have left?
I don't know. Too long. No matter how.
45 minutes or something like that, right?
Oh, no, we're not. That's a whole video. We're not. Yeah. We don't have that left.
And how long do we have left? And how long are we in?
I'll let you know after I play the next clip.
Okay.
I need booze.
To call Hawking mindless is to agree with his own hypothesis. This isn't a verbal snipe at Hawking, by the way.
It is a
highly accurate description of his own beliefs, practically in his own words, as you will soon see. To further support the notion that human beings are all biochemical robots with no minds and no free will, he offers a rather faulty argument, saying the following. A study of patients undergoing awake brain surgery found that by electrically stimulating the appropriate regions of the brain, one could create in the patient the desire to move the hand, arm, or foot, or to move the lips and talk. From this, he leaps to the conclusion that we have no free will.
Whoa. How? Notice that Mike stopped the quote right there and then said he jumps to this conclusion. He is really taking quotes of Hawking and just... He really is doing 2 plus 2 equals pi here.
Yeah.
2 plus 2 equals Batman symbol.
Yeah.
This is a fallacious and illogical argument from the outset.
Yeah.
I can tie a string to your toe and pull it around as if you were a puppet, but that doesn't mean that you can't decide to move that same toe on your own through conscious intention translated into your human body through your brain.
What does that have to do with anything?
That isn't even a proper
That doesn't
analogy.
Address what consciousness is. To point out that you could do that would not have any impact on what causes consciousness.
It's even a shitty analogy. It doesn't make any sense as an analogy to the, you know, the brain being stimulated electrically.
Yeah, but is he actually proposing in that analogy that we can move our bodies in two ways, through this electrochemical way and the force?
That That would actually be a step up from...
What's the video mark?
12 minutes and there's 45 of it.
Oh.
Right, let's carry on. I've got a bottle of whiskey over there I'm going to run for soon, so...
The mind, you see, works by being translated through the brain, which is a biological organ. The brain, in turn, controls the physical body. But artificially inducing a muscle movement through the electrical stimulation of the brain, or the muscles themselves, only proves that there is a biological component to our existence. Not?
Right, I'm going to bring up something here. And that is, it's like what the... It's Matt Dillahunty's brought this up a lot on the Atheist Experience, and that is, show me a mind that exists without a brain.
Yeah.
Before we can go any further with what he's proposing.
Yeah.
Can anyone do... No one's been able to do that.
Or, hell, I would settle for, can you explain how it would work?
Yeah.
And I mean, can you present a theoretical mechanism for how a mind could exist without a brain or anything the equivalent of a brain?
Yeah. Can you give me a second? We have someone wanting to join the show here. I think we need...
Why would anyone want to join? Oh, it's Pumpkin.
Yeah, I think we need Pumpkin.
Well, he's nuts anyway, so...
Yeah. We need him to counterbalance it. Hello, Pumpkin.
Hello.
We need you here. We really need you. We're losing the plot.
Oh, you need me?
Yeah.
Damn right you need me, bitches.
Right. Shall we carry on?
Yes.
My body is prepared.
Not that the biological component is the entirety of our being. For example, if you capture my remote-controlled helicopter, you can easily cause the rotor motor to turn by applying electrodes to the motor's contact points. But I can also control those same motors on the helicopter by broadcasting a command signal from my controlling device located some distance away. Your ability to artificially induce motor activity through the use of electrodes does not disprove an internal, even an invisible, command link to the same hardware. The only thing the brain stimulation experiment demonstrates...
We could detect it in the machine. We'd be able to detect the command signal coming in through the... Oh, God.
Or, and here's just a wild thought, you could turn the receiver off. The horror of it all. What the fuck is this guy smoking? I want a lot of it.
I don't want any of it, to be honest, if this is where it leads to.
Oh, no, I'm one of those people that when I get stoned or high to any extent, I don't follow the, oh, my God, they're out to get me. I'm just like, hey, the walls are melting.
Right, shall we carry on? No, but we have to.
...demonstrates is that the hardware of the human brain can be artificially stimulated. Well, that's not surprising. It says nothing about the software, or possibly even the computing cloud, that is also capable of driving that hardware through free will. By Hawking's argument, the fact that a doctor can hammer your knee and cause a literal knee-jerk reaction somehow bolsters the false belief that we have no consciousness or free will. It is a base...
He doesn't say that we don't have consciousness.
Is he literally making the argument that he says that you hit the knee and it bounces, therefore no free will? Because if he is, someone hit him with a brick. a big
right in the face.
Brick. Not like a small brick, not a Lego brick. I mean like a big cinder block just smashed down on top of his head. Because that is the only cure for this level of retardation.
Something that I have always wanted to say to... And every moron starts talking about free will. Define free will and propose a method to distinguish between free will and just plain will. Good luck.
Free will, you can do more or less what you want. Will is the measure of your mana. It's used for casting spells.
That's probably the most sensitive thing we've heard.
And if you upgrade it enough, you get some blue lines that go through your character.
Let's
get you.
Okay. Argument. I applaud you for
Lest
that
you
one.
Think I am misinterpreting Hawking's conclusion on this matter, he sums it all up nicely with this statement. It is hard to imagine how free will can operate if our behavior is determined by physical law. So it seems that we are no more than biological machines, and that free will is just an illusion. I couldn't explain it any more plainly. Like the majority of conventional physicists, Hawking believes we are deterministic robots who lack free will, consciousness, and anything you might call a mind.
But we lack consciousness, you idiot.
Where on earth is he getting the no consciousness and mind?
I would like to, you know, play devil's advocate here. When you've had a lot to drink and you pass out, you do lose consciousness.
True.
But
that's not what he means.
Yes.
I know, it's called a joke. I make them occasionally, they're always shit. But what I'm getting at is, if this guy's argument is, okay, look what Stephen Hawking said while talking about, you know, the biochemistry of this, even though he's a physicist, because, you know, that's not important. If his entire argument is, look what this physicist said about brains and biochemistry, I could easily say, look what the duck says in relation to the car.
Oh, shall we carry on?
I've just joined and I don't want to.
This belief, as you will soon see, is a very dangerous belief. It has huge implications for the very way we value life on our planet and throughout the universe. The dangerous philosophy of determinism. Determinism is an extremely dangerous philosophy because, by definition, it absolves people from all responsibility for their own actions.
No.
If you believe in...
Okay, I'm not so up to speed on what is determinism, actually. Can anyone answer that?
Well, essentially, that we don't have a choice.
Okay, that's all right then.
It doesn't mean that we aren't responsible. If I have a personality and a background that leads me to commit a murder, then I am a threat to society. And that means put me away. Okay?
All right. And I'm going to guess he's going to Godwin Law at some point. Because whenever I hear dangerous philosophies, I know Godwin's just around the corner.
Okay. Why don't we make this entertaining, because it's already horrifying. Why don't we try and make a game out of it? We'll each take a rough estimate of how long it will take before he hits Godwin's Law. And this is both a measurement of time and just, you know, how much he's talking, like four sentences, which could take either 10 seconds or a minute. I'm going to say 3 sentences, maybe 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll go with maybe 5 sentences at about 4 minutes.
I think 10 sentences in 6 minutes.
I have no idea. I think I'm going to go with 5 sentences and 2 minutes.
Okay, everyone, keep count for us.
Okay, and now that we all know our distances, you need to remember, as soon as he says it, we all need to drink something very alcoholic really quickly. That's the fun part.
In determinism, you are logically forced to believe there is no such thing as a criminal, because those who choose to commit violent crimes are merely biochemical robots who pursue such actions through no fault of their own. They can't help
it. And we label those people
determinism
criminals.
Is the magic get-out-of-jail-free card sought by every defense attorney who is trying to get his murderous client declared innocent. The frequently plea of insanity, of course, is a classic citation of brain-based determinism.
No,
it seeks to absolve the criminal of his actions based on the idea that he did not have...
Does he not realize that if you plead insanity, that's not saying, let me free, it's not my fault I kill people? Does he not realize that the only difference between pleading insanity and just pleading guilty to murder is, if you plead guilty to murder, you just go to prison and you get ass raped by a guy called Bubbles. But if you plead insanity, you get put into an insane asylum and you get drugged by a big scary person called Jim, who possibly also asked for it. Yes.
Alright, we shall carry on.
Having just a presence of mind clear. In yep. committing those crimes in the first place. He was not, in essence, self-aware. His criminal actions were merely the result of biochemical cause and effect, his lawyers
that
would argue.
That doesn't contradict self-awareness.
Can Mike pull up a single example of where a lawyer has argued that?
No, because he is, as the saying goes, full of the shit.
Now, Hawking believes we are all effectively qualified for that same plea of insanity. Because in his mind, we are all deterministic biochemical robots.
But we are not all insane, like you are.
No consciousness, no soul, and therefore no responsibility for our current actions. But what about future actions? If we are biochemical machines, it would seem that we could be held accountable to pre-crime. Because, as Hawking states...
No, just fucking no. You can go
to... Zardon Minority Report.
I just want to say that I know what he's trying to say, and even in the little scenario he's made, that doesn't make sense. I can go through my computer's hard drive with a fine-tooth comb and find nothing that would lead you to think that I watch porn on a regular basis, and that I'm going to in the next 10 minutes.
Yep.
But... that doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. You can't predict what's going to happen. At best, you could make an estimate based on previous scenarios. But usually in that case, if what you're trying to get at is someone being brutally murdered, if you're using previous scenarios of a specific individual that you've already identified, you're a shitty policeman and you should just retire. Because if you already know they're killing people, then you should arrest them.
If we knew the complete molecular state of someone's brain today, we could perfectly predict every thought and action they would take in the future.
No, because chaos theory prevents that.
And also...
there's a limit to the accuracy a measurement can be made, and this is such a complex system that even the tiny... quantum fluctuations that we simply cannot measure because of, you know, the uncertainty principle.
We have
an inaccurate measurement, and that means the inaccuracies will just increase exponentially over time, and there's no way to make an accurate prediction. It is impossible.
Also, even if we did have the perfect map without any kind of flaws, what's going to happen if someone gets hit on the head, wakes up too early, drinks too much, stares at the TV, falls down a flight of stairs, or just generally does something that either increases or decreases the number of, you know, synapses in the brain? Mm-hmm. Then your map's fucked.
All right, shall we carry on, guys?
Yeah.
Thus, by accurately assessing someone's brain today, with a brain scan, for example, technology could pinpoint exactly who would commit a future act that would break society's laws. That person could therefore be arrested for having the present state of mind that doctors claim would lead to future crime. This leads to an absurd ethical contradiction, which means that people aren't responsible for their present actions, but they can be held accountable for future actions they haven't even committed. Such is the distortion of determinism. But the belief that human beings lack souls or consciousness is dangerous for a far more serious reason. It can provide a scientific basis for the commission of heinous crimes against humanity, including genocide.
From Hawking's point of view
of soulless determinism, there is no reason why the United Nations, for example, can't reduce regional overpopulation by simply committing genocide against human beings through population reduction programs. Because humans aren't real people with souls and consciousness, The poisoning of them does not violate any real ethical boundaries, according to that line of thinking. This is not an outlandish scenario.
Stop.
Currently, the United States Department
of... First of all, humans aren't real people because we don't have souls, okay? When was it established that real people have souls?
Yeah, I don't believe that people have souls, but that doesn't, you know... I'm not going to run down the street carrying a machete and machine gunning everything in sight. Because I have a conscience.
Yeah, I don't respect the right for souls to exist. I respect the right for humans to exist, okay? Whether humans have souls or not, which I don't believe. I don't believe there is such a thing as a soul. I don't even understand what a soul is.
Definition of a soul, something gingers don't have.
Oh. You've just condemned the whole nation of Ireland, the pumpkin.
Yeah, fuck them. They petrol bomb my house every Tuesday anyway.
And you do the same to them on Wednesday.
Without fail.
...of agriculture, the USDA, operates a mass avian euthanasia program in the United States called Bye Bye Blackbird.
What?
Under that program, the USDA poisons literally millions of birds each year and engages in the routine extermination of cougars, falcons, owls, foxes, beavers, wild pigs, and other animals. This is all carried out under the presumption that animals have no consciousness and thus murdering them is of no ethical consequence. If the United States government already engages in the murderous management of animal species that it perceives as becoming too populous, then by extension, the same approach to managing human populations would quite easily be justified under a philosophical belief that human beings are mere biological animals too. This is just one of the many reasons why this idea...
Well, of course we're animals. We eat.
And we have share a common ancestor with the animals.
For fuck's sake.
I believe it's time to kill guest chat.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been trying to, but only the show owner can do it. Apologies to all non-cuntish guests, but Mr. Pelvic Thrust has ruined it all for you.
And don't get me wrong, I enjoy a good old pelvic thrust, but that's just sad.
How did you know I saw cock?
Right, I'll carry on, because I can't remember the chat commands exactly, so carry on while I
saw human beings are mindless machines with no consciousness or free will is the perfect pretext for the mass killing of human beings by any government that embraces this thinking. That's one of the many reasons why Hawking is such a dangerous person. The wrongness of his ideas are only matched by the influence of his writings. The very fact that he is so widely respected is what makes his ideas so potentially dangerous, because at any point, a government could latch on to his human beings are not conscious philosophy and commit heinous genocidal acts while calling it all scientific and clutching Hawking's books as if they were Bibles. Adolf Hitler would have welcomed such a philosophy, of course.
Hey, Godwin's law has been broken.
He actually built up to it. He went round it. I mean, he went for eugenics and things like that first, and I thought he was going to go to 9/11 and things like that, maybe. Or maybe
vaccines. That's probably coming.
Vaccines will be on the way soon. All right, shall we carry on?
Okay, 1 second.
It's all the easier to poison millions of Jews if you don't think of them as human beings and instead consider them to be mindless, robotic machines waiting to be exterminated.
No one has said that humans are mindless.
If Hawking's book had existed at the time of Hitler, Nazi crimes would have no doubt been carried out under the name of science and the idea that Jews were mere soulless animals to be exterminated at will would have been branded a scientific idea as well, and anyone who opposed that idea would have been called unscientific.
Holy shit.
Bullshit.
This is crazy. This is insane, to be honest.
Can we ask him to take his cart elsewhere because no one's buying his bullshit here?
Yeah. But the sad thing is, you go to his website and there's people who buy his stuff. Not just literally believe him, but they buy his books, his videos, everything. And this guy, he is insane. There's no other way to... He's a nutcase. He is not right in the head, the shit he's coming out with here.
Well, so am I, but at least I try to be entertaining about it.
I mean, this is like the biggest... He's gone from Hawking to Hawking. I mean, I'll give him credit that he's not gone with Darwin caused the Holocaust. He's actually gone with Stephen Hawking, which is quite an incredible feat. Because Hawking was born quite a bit after that. So.
Well, I think it's because we all secretly know it. The Illuminati put a time machine in his wheelchair, and he has to go back on missions for the New World Order to fix the past.
Yeah.
I can imagine a TV series made out of that.
Yeah.
Dr. Hawking's.
We've got to get to the end of it.
Behind every madman, there is a distorted philosophy that denies people their humanity. Stephen Hawking turns out to be a strong proponent of this very thing, denying people their humanity.
No one has denied anyone their humanity.
No, and I'm willing to say Stephen Hawking would never say, I deny your humanity, or you're human, or you're conscious, or anything. I'm willing to bet a year's wages on that Stephen Hawking would never say anything like that.
Unless he was talking to a computer screen. Because, does this guy actually believe the shit he comes out with, or is it kind of an Alex Jones, I'm just saying it for till old type thing?
He is linked with Alex, him and Alex Jones are good friends.
Oh.
And he does stand in for Alex Jones on the Alex Jones show.
Oh, that explains so much.
Yeah, let's carry on.
Yeah, it is no coincidence, by the way, that science, which gave us the atomic bomb and other technologies with which to carry out mass genocide, has also given us the philosophical pretext under which that...
In case you didn't know, I think most of the people involved, if not all of the people involved with developing the nuke, and certainly the people involved with the decision to use it, did not believe that humans were not conscious. So you kind of shot yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Genocide may be justified.
No.
Remember, too, that on the first page of his book, Hawking complained that ethics hasn't kept up with physics.
He didn't.
But a closer inspection...
He said philosophy, you fucking moron.
He wasn't talking about ethics, he was talking about metaphysics.
Yeah, he never meant... I've read that book, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't mention ethics anywhere in it.
I can't remember it.
Yeah.
Oh. So, my
relationship with the subject reveals quite the opposite. Physics actually hasn't kept up with ethics.
Because it's got nothing to do with it.
Because ethics is ethics, and physics, guess what, is physics.
Okay, to take this into something that I can understand, that is pretty much like saying, the people at the Guinness factory haven't kept up to terms with wine brewing. Because they're not a fucking wine brewer, you spastic.
Yeah.
Why did I join?
Because you like to torture yourself.
Only on weekends. Oh, wait, never mind.
And it's Saturday.
Okay. By the way, I've now got my coping mechanism here. So.
I'm halfway through my coping mechanism.
Yes.
I bought a coping mechanism today, and I would like to say, I hope your coping mechanism has a lot of heroin in it.
Well, it's Irish whiskey, so. Here we go.
So you know it's the good shit.
Oh, come man, our whiskey's far better than what you paddies can do. So.
Hey, go ahead and fuck yourself, mate.
All right, let's not start that. We're going to start the troubles in a second if we keep this up. Let's
the troubles are starting anyway, don't worry about it.
the recognition of the existence of free will and consciousness is the foundation of compassion for all living things. It is the core principle from which the vast majority of ethics spring. No human civilization can achieve lasting peace without the acknowledgement that human beings have consciousness and free will, and yet these are the very ideas that are now branded as unscientific by the vast majority of the conventional scientific community. And they didn't just leave God out of their equations, you see. They left out our...
Right. Science makes no comment on God, either way. It ignores... It's nothing to do with science. How many times has this been said, like, science makes no comment on the supernatural? If it did, then it wouldn't be supernatural then. That's basically the scientific principle.
Isn't the basic definition of science the study of the natural world?
Yep.
And isn't supernatural's definition something that can't be explained through natural means?
Yes.
Kind of seems like the two are almost, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh yeah, incompatible.
For humanity as well. Under the brand of science, we are all meaningless, soulless, biochemical robots who have all fooled ourselves into thinking that we are somehow self-aware.
Jackass.
Self-awareness and observing the observer.
Those of us who have actually studied science...
I find it odd to be criticizing an eminent physicist over the issue of consciousness. Yet despite the fact that Hawking is one of the most renowned thinkers in the world, I stand firm in the belief that to deny the existence of consciousness in fellow human beings is a dangerous, dark pathway that can only lead to suffering and death. It is, in essence, a denial of the value of life itself. That is why, on this point in particular, Hawking is wrong. Dead wrong, to be more specific. Even worse, Hawking is providing a justification for the mass killing of plants, animals, and even human beings, all under the name of science. Because if consciousness is only an illusion, then even suffering is not real. And the ethical treatment of fellow human beings and ideas founded in the religious texts of all major world...
There's suffering.
Okay, why is it that... I know we're all in, like, masochists here and we like insulting people, but why the fuck? That's my question.
This is destroying me, this one. I never thought we'd actually ever get a pwnage where it would actually get...
Oh, we have a Holocaust denier in the chat room.
Do we?
Jack, please, can we talk to him? This might be a little bit more entertaining.
Iron Sky...
Religions, by the way, is immediately rendered null and void. A rogue government... And which government isn't rogue these days, it seems, take these writings and use them as a scientific basis for committing unspeakable horrors against humanity.
I'm guessing 9/11's coming up soon.
But how do I know Hawking is truly wrong on this point? A skeptic of everything I've said here in the past, quite correctly.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you know there is free will and consciousness reflected throughout the living beings in our universe?
I think
the honest answer is...
Yes.
I just want to say, this guy is, his thing of, you know, rogue governments and what governments aren't rogue, does he believe that what makes a rogue government is, you know, controversial, not controversial, like laws being passed? Because that shit has been around since the dawn of any form of government. The essence of a good compromise is leaving both parties unsatisfied. And I think it was Kitsch that said, you know, what makes a rogue government? I think that what makes a rogue government is that when they have, like, their symbol, which is like an eagle for America or Germany or whatever, it wears like a little mask over its eyes so you can't see it, and it says stand and deliver, and therefore it's a rogue. I'm trying my best to interject this with humor, but
yes,
it sounds meaningless to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
a rogue government. I mean, that can mean so many different things.
Yeah. But I got a feeling 9/11's coming up soon.
Yeah, and I'm guessing he believes it was an inside job.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I cannot know with certainty that other beings possess free will and consciousness. I can only know that I possess free will and consciousness. I can't disprove the notion to offer a seemingly...
Stop. There's a simple experiment that you could do to illustrate why you can't. Let's say you're going to go and order pizza. Okay? You can choose anything on the menu. Doesn't have to be pizza, or it can be a fancy restaurant if you prefer that. Okay, what are you going to order? Why? Because you wanted that, right? Did you choose to want it?
No, because we're all robots and, you know, biochemistry and Hawkins is a new world order.
The thing is, having will means you want something. Having free will typically means having the freedom to choose whatever you want, which means you are going to choose what you want, which is exactly what you would have chosen if you didn't have free will.
Shall we carry on?
I hope someone thought that made sense.
It kind of made sense.
Yeah, you can't tell whether you have free will or whether you're just programmed. Because either way, you'd make the same choice. And Lundy is probably
example,
ready.
That everybody else is actually just a highly complex biological robot placed here for the sole purpose of entertaining me, the single and sole conscious being in the universe. It seems silly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A far more likely explanation is that some or even most human beings do possess souls and consciousness. However, I do believe it is possible that there are some soulless humans walking among us who operate without consciousness, without self-awareness, and who are incapable of grasping derivative concepts such as compassion or empathy. Those soulless, mindless people tend to either end up as pathological and violent criminals or corporate executives of powerful multinational organizations such as drug companies or biotech seed manufacturers. This is perhaps why the actions of so many corporations we see today place no value on human life. These corporations may actually be led by soulless biochemical robots who operate with practical intelligence.
Kitch, you can speak as a soulless biochemical robot involved in all this.
Yeah. Yeah, corporations are amoral.
Oh, Jesus.
I actually don't know what to say. That's not like... It's not that simply... It's not that black and white.
This is just...
Companies have bills to pay. That's the whole point of being in business. To make money. But there are... You know, just the fact that you're making money doesn't make you evil. And look, we can argue about how much executives should make. That's one issue. But then you have the simple matter of companies have employees. They need to pay their employees to work there. Otherwise, they will go work somewhere else because they have bills to pay. They need to make money. That means the company needs to make money, even if the people in charge aren't greedy assholes.
And may I point out, we are now featured on the front page of On.
To anyone watching on the front page of On, please, escape while you can.
Yeah.
If you're really wanting to see four people utterly torture themselves, I don't know what state we're going to be in at the end of this.
If you
probably drunk.
Yeah.
If you want to see four drunk people torment themselves, I think RedTube has plenty of videos on that.
Yes, but let's carry on.
But lack anything resembling a conscience. These biological human robots would very well fit the description of humans that Hawking presents. The trouble with Hawking's theory, though, is that he applies it to everyone. And while none of us can be absolutely sure about the state of consciousness in others, those of us which possess a sense of self-awareness can be certain that Hawking is wrong about us. The next obvious question then is, how do I know that I possess consciousness and free will? Francis Crick and most other conventional neurologists believe that...
Wait, he's not a neurologist. You already said that earlier. Francis Crick is a biochemist, isn't he, Kitch? At least I think that.
Yes.
And he just said Francis Crick and other neurologists. He's not a...
He's not a neurologist. I'm going to make sure of that.
He's misquoting things he's already said in this documentary.
Don't call this a documentary.
Oh, fuck.
He's misquoting things actually, he's already said in this conspiracy rag for the film.
Yes. Better? He's misquoting himself now.
Can I just say...
Consciousness is an illusion created by certain neurons in the brain. If they could just find the consciousness neurons, they would have consciousness explained, they believe.
Right. Listen, I'm going to quote, well, Matt Dillahunt, he's covered this a lot, but I think he said that consciousness is an emergent property of the brain. We don't fully understand it yet, but we are getting a decent grounding in it. And no one's got anything to say to that.
This is a case of reductionism ad absurdum. Answering that is easy, actually. Consciousness is revealed through the realization of self-awareness.
What?
What the hell does that mean?
What are you on?
And isn't consciousness and self-awareness pretty much the same thing?
Yes.
So you have a circular thingy there. I don't even want to call it a circular argument because it's not an argument.
Just,
but
it's ad hoc, isn't it?
It's bullshit, plain and simple.
Which is awakening equivalent of lucid dreaming. To awaken in a dream and recognize the active role of your own mind in creating the dream is one level of consciousness awakening.
This
to achieve the same thing at a higher level, the waking level,
what
is to realize the existence
about?
Of one's own consciousness. This is sometimes referred to as being enlightened.
What?
It is a process achieved not through mathematics, but through self-reflection. Observing...
What?
What?
Dreaming and realizing that you're in a dream. Yeah, I've done that. Does that make me enlightened? What's your point? What does this have to do with anything? And by the way, lucid dreaming is still dreaming. It's not real.
No,
it's actually, here's a funny thing. It's actually possible that the whole being aware that I'm dreaming thing is just a part of the dream.
Also, we're all just in the Matrix and we need Keanu Reeves. But I just want to say there are three things that are getting me through this. One, the company. Two, the alcohol. And three, the fact that I've completely tuned out and I'm listening to music.
Lucky bastard.
The observer, if you will. Instead of shut up and calculate, it's more like shut up and meditate. Free will flows naturally from self-realized consciousness.
Well, I'd rather
because a self-realized being can decide to do almost anything at any moment without cause. This is the defining element. Consciousness allows a brain to receive intent and carry out that intent without an underlying physical cause. Rather, the cause is an intention expressed through consciousness, reflected through the physical brain interface, which translates between consciousness and perception, and then carried out by the limbs and muscles in this physical world. This cause phenomenon, if you will, originates outside the realm of physics.
Demonstrate that there can be intent without a brain. Good luck.
I just want to say, in the words of Robert Downey Jr., you just went full retard. Never go full retard. Something to that effect. I'm not really sober enough to do the voice properly.
He's just gone to Deepak. That's what he's in.
No, he just went full Jordan.
I think Jordan would actually be insulted by that.
But I think Jordan wouldn't try and link science all that shit he was on.
Exactly, exactly.
Jordan just says, this is just my philosophy, whereas Mike Adams is taking it to such a fucking extreme and dark.
Oh. Right, and Jordan isn't saying that if people don't agree with this and that, then they are dangerous people. He's saying basically, and I'm going to misquote this, but that if people don't agree with this, then they won't ascend to a higher consciousness level when Nibiru gets here or something like that. He doesn't mention Nibiru, by the way. That was it. But that's...
Yeah.
He's not making threats or anything like that. We're saying that, you know...
Or slippery slope arguments.
Exactly. That's what I'm... Slippery slope. That's what I was looking for. So, yes, I maintain this guy is worse than Jordan.
I maintain that this guy is worse than just about anyone I have come across in recent history.
Yeah. See, this is why we wanted people to vote for this guy for Idiot of the Year, but no one knew who he was.
And this is why I've said it many times in the Facebook chat and on other message boards, I can't stand this guy. He is a detestable individual. Anyway, let's get through this.
And thus, its detection will forever elude physicists. This is an important concept to grasp, that the universe is not deterministic, and that thoughts and intentions can be created without the presence of a physics-based cause. The study of physics alone, then, will forever fail in detecting, describing, or understanding the nature of the mind and consciousness.
Argument from assertion.
I can decide
argument
to speak random series of letters.
Argument from personal incredulity. Do you want me to keep going? I probably can.
A, Z, 7, U, asterisk, H, ampersand, E, and so on. There's no physical deterministic explanation behind my selection of those letters. They emerged entirely as acts of free will, brought into this physical universe through the translation of the mind, through the physical brain, which controls my voice.
How would you demonstrate that?
The collision of consciousness.
You can't demonstrate it. How can you assert it?
Every act of free will, by the way, is an integral part of the creation of the universe itself.
What?
Without conscious observation, many quantum theorists believe the universe would not exist at all. Quote, observation...
Anyone?
It hurts my brain.
Marty, were you hurting yourself there? Marty.
I can't stand this.
We will get to the end of it.
How much longer?
Observations not only disturb what is to be measured, they produce it, said Pasquale Jordan, one of the founders of quantum theory. This thought disturbed Einstein, who famously said, I like to think that the moon is there even if I am not looking at it. But as quantum theory has now convincingly demonstrated, Einstein based his wish on the principles of two things, reality, that things exist on their own, separate from conscious observation, and separability, that matter and energy can exist in isolation, unconnected to anything else. Both of these ideas, reality and separability, have now been conclusively proven false.
Okay, what in the titty fucking shit balls?
This is now Johannan territory, I think.
He is going to say that because certain interpretations of quantum mechanics reject local realism, the realism part of local realism, that means reality doesn't exist, and that is not what it means.
Also, someone in the chat just said, wasn't Einstein known for being opposed to quantum mechanics?
Yes, okay. And he eventually accepted it.
Just to let you know, there's 15 minutes left of this.
Oh, shit.
By both quantum theory and quantum experimentation. Scientific realism, more carefully defined, is the thesis that the objects of scientific knowledge exist and act independently of the knowledge of them. This
exactly.
belief has, as
and
mentioned
only
above,
some interpretations of quantum mechanics reject that.
Quantum theory and reliable experiments based on quantum theory tells us that there is no such thing as a, quote, real object that exists in isolation without being influenced by other things, nor that it even exists as a real thing without being observed. As theoretical physicist John Wheeler explained, quote, no microscopic property is a property until it is an observed property.
According to the Copenhagen interpretation, yes.
Which he... And didn't Mike, wasn't Mike against the Copenhagen interpretation?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, God.
Furthermore, the separability question has also been conclusively answered. There is no separability in our universe. As
yes,
physicists Bruce Rosenblum and Fred Kuttner state in their book Quantum Enigma, any two objects that have ever interacted are forever entangled. The behavior of one instantaneously influences the other, and the behavior of everything entangled with either. Our world has a mysterious universal connectedness that goes beyond what we usually consider physical forces. What all this tells us is...
Can I just point something out to this dipshit? He's saying that, you know, two things that have ever touched will be forever entangled. What about two things that have never touched? Like, I don't know, one speck of dust in one galaxy and a supernova in the other. There's a massive space in between them called a void, which has nothing in it. So they've never met, so they're not entangled. Therefore, I go fuck yourself, sir.
There's an analogy
not only that we are conscious,
here.
Self-aware
Stop.
Beings.
The idea of entanglement is basically like you have a connection between two coins, such that if one is heads, the other must be tails. Now you shake them up. You hold them together, and then you separate them, and you place them, you know, on a table or something so they can't flip, but you don't look at them. Now you look at one, and you instantly know what the other one is. But here's the funny thing. If you, before looking at it, flip it upside down, you're not going to affect the other, because now they are no longer entangled. They've interacted with something else.
...who influence the very existence of the things around us, but that our consciousness also affects the entire universe. What we choose to say or think or carry out through our actions sends ripples of reality coursing through the vast sea of matter and energy that is our universe.
I want to really send a huge fucking ripple his way at the moment.
I'd sooner just kick him in the bollocks and piss on his corpse. I hope that's not...
Not only can we influence everything in the universe instantaneously with our minds, but the laws of quantum physics reveal that we cannot help but do so. We are, quite literally, one with the universe.
Well, in what sense? What do you mean? Define your terms.
If he's trying to say that, you know, the atoms that make up our body were once forged in the hearts of dying stars, yes, we are one with the universe.
I somehow doubt that that's what he means.
Yeah.
Yes, but if he's trying to say that through some form of spiritual yen and deep meditation and thought we can feel the chi of the universe, then I think that he has inserted some form of anima just a bit too far, and it's poked his brain. Fuck this guy.
This realization gives rise to a far kinder and more useful philosophy than the so-called science offered by Hawking, who believes that human beings are soulless, mindless, biochemical robots.
He didn't see
that! The belief that every living, conscious being in the universe is inherently connected to every other living being in the universe gives rise to a philosophy of compassion, valuing life, and seeking peaceful ways to resolve conflict. It even leads logically to the principles found in many religions. Treat others as you would wish to be treated. Why? Because you are, according to the fabric of reality, connected to them as they are to you. To harm another living being, as the Buddhists would say, is to harm yourself. To express compassion toward another conscious living being is to express love and compassion for yourself in the same instant. And on a personal note, I would add that conscious living beings also include animals and plants.
He's talking about on a personal note. You've never had... Everything you've presented is on a personal note. You have no clue about anything. Yeah, he said plants are conscious, yes.
The fuck?
And the thing he just said, to harm another conscious being is to harm yourself, and I know for a fact he's a vegetarian. He's still harming himself even when he has his veggie burgers.
Also, can I just say that if his idea is, you know, if by harming others you're harming yourself, I've thrown petrol bombs at people and small fluffy animals, and I've not burst into flames with shards of red hot glass in my face. It doesn't quite work out the way he's talking.
Yes. He's another one, I think we should send him on a trip to your neck of the woods, and I think he might...
I just need to fucking set up Norn Iron Tours. Here's your flak jacket, hold on to your balls.
Yeah, I wonder if he would be... how he would last going round Belfast saying you're all one with the universe.
Grand fuck yeah, cunt! Rick through his window.
Let's carry on.
Origins of the universe. Any serious inquiry into the nature of the universe ultimately leads to the origin of the universe. On this subject, as with the subject of consciousness, conventional physicists fail to offer enlightenment.
No, they just don't have an answer yet. That's all it is. That's why we have physicists investigating it.
And what does offer anything? What does offer an answer that's actually correct?
Who's willing to bet he's going to go for Kalam here?
I would just like to say that if we're going for the answer, you know, the true answer that is honest and true for us all is, I don't fucking know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And until we're all willing to say that answer, we're all lying bastards. Well, the people that are still giving some good, you know what I mean?
Instead of offering a mechanism by which the universe may have begun, they insist the universe spontaneously and without cause created itself out of nothing for no particular reason.
Straw man alert.
Oh. Yep.
Now, how many times will we be saying this over the next segment? What physicists mean by nothing is not what philosophers mean by nothing.
Yep.
We are not even really sure what nothing is yet.
Hawking writes about this in The Grand Design. But before we discuss that, allow me to explain the context of this idea first. When you talk to conventional physicists, they calmly explain that the universe follows certain laws or rules of nature. The law of gravity, for example, is one such law. There are laws concerning the conservation of momentum, chaos theory, thermodynamics, the behavior of light, and so on. This is all why...
Stop. Chaos theory is the law, not a law of physics. It's a branch of mathematics.
Widely accepted, as most of us would agree, the universe does appear to follow certain laws.
Yes.
But when you ask where those laws came from and how they came about,
they're prescriptive laws.
We observe a behavior in nature, a consistent behavior, and we call that a law.
Yeah. That's it.
So if you want to ask where did the law come from the guy who decided to call it a law.
How the universe itself came about, you get a giant fudge factor called the Big Bang.
No!
Okay. Oh, so you're saying it's just a fudge factor that we can clearly observe that things are receding. Sorry, but that's an empirical observation.
The Big Bang is only us tracing the universe back to one Planck time, isn't it, Marty?
Yeah, well...
It's the universe and its
let's just say tracing it back in time until the laws of physics simply don't tell us what would have happened before this.
We only get so far, it doesn't explain
exactly.
the origin.
We reach a point where it just breaks down.
Until we can figure out what laws worked before then, all we can do is work with physics and run around shouting, I am the law.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Anything that physicists, and astrophysicists in particular, don't understand seems to get swept under the Big Bang rug.
What?
No. Don't know where the first hydrogen really came from?
I think they've got a rough idea, don't they?
Yeah.
Baryogenesis, yes. Yeah. There are things we don't know about it.
Wait, isn't there a brilliant video by King Crocoduck that's basically a brief history of everything that sort of gives a decent description of, you know, how light came to be and how atoms came to be and stars and shit? Watch that video. It explains some shit. It at least gives you a rough idea.
Don't worry. It all got magically and spontaneously created in the moments after the Big Bang.
No, that's,
where was
that's
the Big Bang?
Almost what bang? Creationists
it
believe.
No,
they just don't call it
because
the Big Bang
created space too. And what caused the Big Bang? Nothing.
No, we do not know.
We don't know what caused it. The idea that nothing within quotation marks caused it. Well, that's one possibility, which holds up mathematically.
Isn't the ruling theory that is that the Big Bang was caused because nothing is the most unstable form of everything?
Yeah.
And that it basically just fractured for a moment and the Big Bang happened?
It's the uncertainty principle applied to a state where everything is zero.
Yeah.
Basically. And that holds up mathematically, but we don't know that it's the correct answer.
Yeah.
All we know is that it's consistent with what we observe. We would observe a universe which is essentially flat, for example, and that's what we observe. But that doesn't prove it. The evidence supporting this is, well, it's bad because the same evidence could support other ideas.
For all we know, we're just mold growing in an intergalactic petri dish.
Pretty much. Well, basically, the honest answer is we don't know, but there are ideas that are worth exploring.
Yeah.
The Big Bang spontaneously caused itself without any apparent reason or intention.
We don't know.
That seems pretty far-fetched in a universe that's supposed to follow laws. So to answer all of this, Hawking writes,
it's our
because there's a law like gravity
that have led to this conclusion that this is possible. Apply the laws of nature to a state where all physical quantities are zero.
Yeah, because I think this is theoretical bullshit that if nothing is there really is a complete absence of everything, then how can anything act on it?
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah. There's like lots of, there's all these, this different idea. We just don't know.
But another thing that I really hate is when this idea that nothing, if they really mean nothing, as in not even laws, then there would be no law preventing the spontaneous creation of things.
And it's like, and someone else, Tracy Harris, say, how can we know what nothing does? We've never really looked at nothing yet to know what it doesn't do.
The universe can and will create itself from nothing in the manner described in Chapter 6. Spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing. The obvious reference to spontaneous creation here deserves some discussion. Wasn't it physicists who have been berating the God-believing creationists over their belief in spontaneous creation? God didn't create the universe, they insist. The Big Bang.
Just cut in here. Physicists insult Christians not because they believe in spontaneous creation, but because they believe in spontaneous creation by an imaginary sky daughter who did everything in the wrong fucking order.
And you also have to keep in mind that when Hawking uses the expression spontaneous creation, that's in a popular science book. Yes. You're not going to find that phrasing in a peer-reviewed paper.
Yeah.
Because when you have to dumb shit down for the plebeians and the general public, then you're going to have to dumb it down. You don't use the big sciencey mumbo-jumbo, especially words that I can't remember the specific term for. Terminology.
Ended. And how did the Big Bang come about? Spontaneous creation. They might as well just add "by God" after the phrase, it seems, since they have now adopted the very same argument put forth by...
But the thing is, God has got a lot of properties. There's so much wrong with this.
And how can it be spontaneous creation if God caused it?
I'm not Catholic, but I will point out the Catholic Church has for many years stated that the Big Bang is entirely consistent with creationism because God created the Big Bang, which gave rise to everything else.
The Big Bang theory.
Actually, the idea that God or a sufficiently intelligent and advanced being of some sort caused the Big Bang is one of the more promising theories of where it all came from. It makes a lot more sense than the idea that it just kind of created itself out of nothing without any reason or cause.
Now, what's the big question about this intelligent cause and creator? What caused it?
And isn't another question is why is he such a prick?
Yes.
But we'll get to that later. Back to Hawking's quote. The logic of his statement just shatters at the slightest probing. Because there is a law like gravity, he says, the universe will create itself. This is illogical. It's a lot like saying, because my car's brakes follow the laws of physics, they will therefore create themselves out of nothing.
No. Total non sequitur.
That can't even form good analogies, this guy. I mean, I hate to be crediting Kent Hovind with any, but at least with his analogies, you know, it made you just think for a minute and then you could deconstruct these analogies that Mike Adams is coming up with. They're just nonsensical.
If something follows the law... The brakes on your car were not the result of the uncertainty principle acting on nothing. For one, there was something for it to act on. So you have a completely different set of circumstances. You cannot simply say that because they follow the laws of nature, they must do the same thing. They are different things.
That would certainly be convenient, since I wouldn't need to replace the brake pads, but I doubt they're going to magically appear just because they follow some of the laws of physics. In fact, it would seem that a set of brakes magically appearing out of nothing would violate the laws of physics.
Yes,
it does!
As Hawking says, quote, bodies such as stars and black holes cannot just appear out of nothing,
exactly.
But a whole universe can. That's his quote, by the way. He says the universe will create itself from nothing.
Because now there is a universe. Notice how it's different. The circumstances are different.
And even the everything we think we have found is only about 4% of all the stuff, of which 96% is dark matter and dark energy.
I have to address this quick little thing. Because everyone seems to fucking say that all the creationists and fundies and fucktards seem to say, oh, we think we only know 4%. There is a damn near infinite amount of shit out there. if we were to know 4% of an infinite amount, we would know an infinite amount of things.
Yeah.
Because a percentage of an infinite is in of itself still an infinite. Therefore, go fuck yourself, fuck your percentile, and rape a dog.
Far failed to find any of it, by the way. Now, this idea that something can be created out of seemingly nothing isn't actually far-fetched as long as there's some input involved. Energy, for example.
So wait, he's saying it's actually possible now.
What? Consistency! What is that?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
How much more?
If energy is entered into the equation as the causal force behind the Big Bang, then there's a reasonable explanation for how the Big Bang might have come about.
And
essentially,
guess
the rational explanation is that God, or a sufficiently advanced alien...
There is actually a possible explanation. We don't know for a fact that no energy was added from some external source. In fact, there is this idea that the universe is actually a black hole in another universe. And things being created are simply things falling into the black hole. In other words, energy being added from the outside. I don't personally believe that, but it's consistent with what we observe. At least to my knowledge.
One civilization sprouted the Big Bang by injecting a tremendous amount of energy into a single point in multidimensional space, then we are now the inhabitants of a giant ant farm experiment the size of the whole universe. This is actually one of the most promising explanations for the origin of our universe. The other leading explanation, and I'm not kidding, is that our universe exists as a grand simulation operating inside a highly advanced computing system of some sort, belonging to an alien race of beings that is billions of years more advanced than we are. There is actually some serious evidence to support this notion. Planck's constant seems to hint at a physical resolution.
It is indeed consistent with what we observe, yes. You see how there are different ideas that are all consistent, and therefore we say we don't know. However, this simulation thing, I'm going to call Occam's razor on this one.
Limit of the apparent physical universe where objects and energies are quantized in much the same way as pixels on a display monitor in our modern computing world. There's also the fact that the closer you begin to look at matter and energy, the more it all appears to be made of computations. What we believe to be physical matter is actually little more than an organized wave of probability computations.
What does
that mean? Do you even know what that means, Mike?
I don't.
Of course not.
Right.
Make it make sense.
Make the stupid go away.
A fact that becomes more apparent the more closely we examine what matter is made of. This grand computer simulation explanation also explains God, rather nicely.
Oh.
An all-powerful, omniscient intelligence that presides over the universe. That would, of course, be the programmer of the simulation.
Hold on. Let's accept the simulation hypothesis just for the sake of argument. How does it follow that the programmer is omnipotent?
Yeah, and also, if this is all being simulated, what was it Mike was saying about free will earlier?
He was saying that...
Wouldn't that really make us the programmed, mindless robots of the simulation?
Also, can I just make a quick point? Programmers constantly, when they're writing out code or, you know, using script and they put it in, very, very often, weird shit they don't understand just happens.
Yes.
They're called glitches and bugs, and they have to be patched. So if this fucking guy, this god, this omnipotent being created everything, then life and free will is just another glitch that needs to be patched out, according to Mike Adams. Well done, you feel your own logic, you fucking retard.
Right.
simulation we now inhabit. There is no logical reason why God himself could not be an emissary from a highly advanced alien civilization that created our universe as...
Evidence, Mike.
I'm tempted to quote DS9 when he said emissary, but I'm not going to defile the memory of the Sisko with that. I don't want Ben Sisko associated with that. That would just tarnish so many good things for me.
As a curious experiment. In fact, such a scenario fits nicely with the widely accepted definition of God, a being beyond the stars, who created the universe, and who presides over it with seemingly endless power. God is to our universe as you are to the characters in Sim City. The little Sim beings of Sim...
And this again, do the Sim City folk have free will or consciousness? Because this just buggers up your argument completely from earlier, Mike.
Also, can I just...
Go home, Mike. You're drunk.
I just want to say that the Sims in Sim City don't have free will. They can't go beyond the edges of the map. They always follow the set routine. The only thing that even resembles free will is when they decide to not eat and just die. And you know what that's called?
They would only do conscious because they're programmed to every now and then. So it still doesn't fly.
I was just going to say that even that, if it wasn't meant to happen, guess what it's called? A glitch!
But what I think is funnier and what needs to be addressed here is that I'm not actually arguing against this. I don't think there's... I think it's unfalsifiable. I'm not sure about that, but here's the thing. The reason I would reject it as a reasonable option compared to the black hole in another universe idea, or the universe coming from nothing, or a previous universe collapsing, or whatever, is simply Occam's razor. We have to presuppose the existence of this external reality that, you know, where there is intelligence and they created a computer that runs this simulation. That's why I have a problem with it.
Yes. We're almost there, guys.
Are people in the chat... I just want to say, are people in the chat having a discussion as to whether or not DNA is
a
language?
But if you can imagine them in consciousness, it's not hard to see how amazed they would be at the miraculous powers of you, their God from above, who can spontaneously create buildings out of nothing. Now, if one of your SimCity citizens were to look at you during the...
There's a big difference here. We know that those, the Sims, you know, have a God. Because we are looking at them from our perspective.
Also,
so it's not the same situation.
I just want to throw something in here. He's saying that creating something from nothing. No, you're creating a set list of items using a specific currency in the game. If you don't have the currency or the items, shit don't just pop into existence.
Yeah, let's carry on. And 559, we're glancing at the chat now and again. We're just trying to concentrate on this and get it over with.
In the game, actually speak to you and say, I realize I'm in a simulated game and I'd like to get out, climb out of the monitor and see the world from your point of view, that would be the SimCity equivalent of enlightenment. That is probably how some transcendent meditation masters appear to the actual creators of our universe.
Huh?
But if an advanced alien civilization gave rise to our universe, either as a grand computer simulation or as a, quote, real phenomenon sprouted out of nothing through the Big Bang, then why would such an intelligence stop at merely one universe? If God is all-powerful, in other words,
as long as we're making up shit
he's powerful
right now,
enough to create
not?
More than one universe.
He's not.
It follows, then, that a sufficiently advanced alien civilization, or God, if you will, would seed multiple universes in much the same way that we might seed a flower bed with a handful of seeds. Each one of those universes, which I will now call multiverses to avoid confusion of the term universe.
Oh, he came up with the term multiverses all by himself, didn't he?
As if no one had ever thought of it before.
Multiverses plural?
I don't think he understands what multiverse or what multi means, so I think we should just, you know... Of all the things to focus on, multiverses is not one of them.
Which must encompass everything, might experience a Big Bang with slight variations in the laws of physics. In some multiverses, for example, Planck's constant is a smaller number, giving rise to a higher resolution of matter in that multiverse. In other multiverses, the atomic weight of hydrogen might be slightly different, drastically altering the development of stars, planets, black holes, and other cosmological phenomena.
It sounds like he's taking ideas from some physicists or a bunch of popular science books explaining things like this. What was his name? I think he was in a wheelchair.
Forgotten him. I haven't heard of him for ages.
Planets that also support life. And on some of those planets, conditions would be just right for the development of carbon-based biological life as we know it here on Earth. It is those planets that would merit special attention from the advanced alien intelligence, it seems, because, well, life is interesting. And for what other purpose would there be to create a series of multiverses in the first place, if not to examine life?
Well,
life is interesting stuff, and life on Earth is undoubtedly just one case of...
Stop. If you wanted to create a universe that does nothing but expand and form black holes, it's probably for the purpose of watching it expand and form black holes.
Also, did he literally just say, because aliens?
Yes.
And that fridge is flying away in a mushroom cloud.
Carrying Dr. Joe
among countless other life-supporting planets across not merely our galaxy and not only our multiverse, but potentially countless other multiverses which are beyond our present ability to even describe, much less detect or explore. All we really know is that we exist in a matrix of laws and rules of nature, and that we have somehow been granted a degree of self-awareness necessary to pull ourselves out of ignorance and toward the ultimate goal.
Go on, please say
that goal is as self-evident as consciousness itself. To finally understand who we are, how we came to exist, and what our purpose is for being here, if any. To know ourselves.
Stop.
Because the real grand design goes...
That's our goal.
To know ourselves.
And we don't have a choice about it.
Does he mean to know ourselves in the biblical way?
Didn't this idiot rant on about how he thinks we have free will, and now he's saying that we all have the same goal, which is specifically what he believes is our goal? What?
Can I just say that if he's saying that our objective is to know ourselves, he's either talking about through deep thought and inner turmoil, we have to figure out just what makes us special, what makes us an individual, what makes us brilliant, or he's telling us to ourselves.
Right. Come on. Capula.
Goes far beyond merely figuring out the mathematics behind the fabric of reality. It is a design of consciousness, of connection, and of limitless power to influence all that is through the power of our minds. As we were created in His image, we each possess a fraction of the power of God, a slice of omniscient, conscious godliness. We have only forgotten our connectedness.
We have not established that a God exists.
We are separate from each other and the world around us. The ultimate answers may already exist within us, if we find the courage to look within rather than focusing our questions on the world out there. Because quantum physics now tells us what we find in the universe around us is merely
no,
a reflection
stop, stop, stop,
of what
stop,
we
stop.
Are within.
Please take an introductory course in quantum mechanics, you jackass.
No, not quantum mechanics. Just take an introductory course in continuity. Because he started off by saying, mechanics is silly. Then he said, free will exists. And then he said, simulation. We're all being programmed. Then he said, God. Then he said, we all have the exact same goal in life. And then he said some bullshit about needing to not understand the world, but ourselves. And you know what my response is? Shut up. Grab a fucking book that isn't a Bible. Sit down and fucking read it.
And don't think that you know shit just because you've
Thank
read
you
a popular
listening.
Science book.
This is Mike Adams, founder of DivinityNow.com.
It's over.
A website about conscious cosmology.
Yay.
Please join me there for more explorations of consciousness, quantum physics, philosophy, the power of the mind, and the nature of reality.
I do believe.
If you can learn one single thing about quantum mechanics on that website, I will eat my microphone.
It's over. Holy
it's
shit.
It's finally over.
Fuck me.
I joined towards the end, and it was painful. For you guys, it must have been damn near agony.
Yes.
And also, just one, aside, I think this is going to be take too long to type out in the chat, but Wilson just brought up a, what's the phrase? You have to prove the claim. You made the claim, you have to prove
Garden
it. Sorry, it just takes far too long to distract,
right.
to type that out.
I think, yeah, we made it to the end of that. Holy shit. I just think I'll get our thoughts a little younger. The New World Order, what do you think of that?
It hurt.
That is the worst we've ever done, I think. That is the worst source material for one of these pointages, without a shadow of a doubt. It was. That is just unreally bad. Big Pharma, what do you have to say? We've lost him. Right, Pumpkin, what do you have to say?
That was painful, and I'm just so amused by the chat. Oh. Because there's lots of like little back and forths which are entertaining me between people commenting about the show, the commentary, just trying to figure stuff out for themselves. It is pretty good, and...
I think wider. We do pick on the Scandinavians, don't you? Marty.
We apologise to Norway.
Yes. Our resident Norwegian is testament to how much we abuse Scandinavians. Right.
I mean,
Squiggly.
Jag hatar er allihopa.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was quite a horrible insult. That's right. And that's the first time you've actually spoken Swedish on this show, Marty, if I recall.
Ah, so you recognised that it was Swedish! Ha, gotcha!
Okay, can I just point out that I'm Irish and I speak English?
Yeah.
People can know languages from different countries, you little Norwegian.
Big Pharma, can we get your thoughts on that this time? Because you just sort of went into silence the last time.
I didn't know that. There was just nothing I could say really because it was just not out of my. It was just out of my field.
Yes.
But my God, I knew it was that all bullshit.
Yeah, I've only watched 2 minutes of that. That was horrific. Really was.
The only reason I actually sat through this was because we're all doing this together and I can't back out, you know.
Anyway,
someone apparently asked me a question in the chat, but I missed the question. 559. I'm sorry.
Right.
What was the question?
No idea, but just to say that with that show, that is. Trolling with Logic, that is our last show for 2013. And it's been quite a year
for us. Interesting.
It's been a phenomenal year, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just to give folk an idea of where we've been and where we've come from, this time last year, we were on 6,000 total downloads of our podcast. Right now, we're on the verge of 30,000. So that is, I can't even do
math. Almost a five timing.
Yes. It's rotting my brain. I can't do the basic arithmetic there.
Too much math.
Yes. So
that too much math, cannot brain.
It shows just how far we've come along. Our Facebook group last year had 90 members. Just the other day, we got 500 members in there. It's been a fantastic year for us. We've had, so many incredible guests. It's just been, I've loved every year of it. I've also seen my co-hosts here. We've all developed a lot in, like, interviewing skills, and I think the technical side of the show is improving as well. We're getting there, I think. There's still things I would like to improve in the show, but I think we have improved a hell of a lot.
Yeah, and when you consider the budget that we're working on, which is essentially zero, then...
Yeah, we've also had...
I think it's great.
A friend of ours made our website. They did a wonderful job with our webpage, which looks fantastic now. We've also...
I'm sorry, I'm cutting in here. 559 is asking me, what if zombies took over, I think?
Yeah, headshot, that's all I would say.
Yeah, shoot him in the head. But you know what? I don't believe in zombies. Yeah. I'm not a Christian.
Yeah, where was I? Lost some place now. And yeah, we've got an editor who edits our recordings after they're done. He takes them away and gets rid of all the noise, the pauses, the tech glitches and that. So the quality of the podcast has improved dramatically. And also, I have to say, we came back to Vaughan tonight just because of a technical issue with Google. That whenever we tried to do a pwnage on there as a test, and we got flagged up for copyright immediately. And if one thing we noticed, there's a far bigger audience on Vaughan, it seems. Because the audience, it's been a fantastic crowd tonight, it really has.
Yeah.
And apart from the occasional troll, it's been pretty decent chat.
The viewing figures.
I don't know, maybe... It would be interesting to see how many people came here from watching the trailer on either the trailer or the announcement video on my channel, because one thing that has happened since the last time we were here is that I think I've gained another 3,000 subs.
Yeah. Who are you, 559? We can't shout you out. You're just a bunch of numbers. So
okay, I want to give a shout out to guest 559-516-43396. You go, girlfriend.
Yeah, let's chant their name three times, or no, maybe not. They'll just get.
Yeah, I think we can skip that.
Rumpel skin.
Yeah, I think I'll go to Marty for your thoughts on 2013.
Yeah, great year, except for the charity show, which glitched out.
Yeah, and. Sadly, due to Lundy's circumstances and also you kind of lost another one of our co-hosts at the same time, just due to real life. It ended up being myself, Kitch, and Marty had to host everything for 16 hours, and that's quite difficult to do, really.
Yeah, it was a pain in the ass, and the tech issues that with you having your... horrible internet connection at the time.
Yeah, that was due to me.
It really ruined what I thought would have been a great interview with James Randi.
Yeah. I'll say, like, for the charity show, for those who didn't know, this has given away a little bit of my personal, but I'm not too bothered. In May, I was made redundant from my job at the time, and I moved back with my parents, and my parents live in the Scottish Islands. And as you can imagine, internet is not too great there, so... I was on a very low substandard connection. But now I'm back in a city here. I've got fiber optic, and that's why the show quality has improved. Yes, 19711, this will be uploaded. If you go down, if you scroll right down the page here, you'll see some links. You can access our YouTube channel, subscribe to that, or subscribe to the podcast. It'll be up there as well.
I, for one, am going to edit my little speech about the 4% of the known universe and just upload that as a video, because I find that just so fucking funny.
Okay, Eris. Yeah. There you go. Right, and...
And someone in the chat asked
me... I didn't mention this about us in 2013. We have acquired some new talent this year. We have Sarah on board. Go to our blog, read her blogs. They are fantastic, and she will be featured more in the show more. She's just extremely busy at the moment, but we're very much looking forward to having her on the show more, because I think she's got a lot of potential.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to say, someone in the chat asked me what I think of capitalism and so on. I don't do politics.
Yeah.
It just gets everyone pissed. Yeah. And for another, I don't feel that I know enough about the subject. So, I do have my opinion, but I'll keep that to myself.
Okay, and one more. We can't go speaking about new talent without mentioning Sheila.
Thank you.
Sheila has been fantastic on the show.
Absolutely.
She is a very, very welcomed addition. Mm-hmm. It was something we were conscious at the start of the year that we didn't have any female voices, and we're glad with the addition of Sheila and Sarah. Not only we've got two very, very intelligent people there as well on board.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Kitch, you've been silent. What you've thought of 2013?
It's a great year. It's definitely been a great year. You know, we built on what happened in 2012.
Yeah.
We've added more great talent to the roster. We interviewed a lot of great guests. My personal favorites being Phil Moriarty and I don't remember because I missed out like half the year.
Yeah.
Because of Singapore.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, the charity show, even though with the tech glitches, it was still fun, you know, with, God, I'm trying to remember the house show, is a big blur. Michael Nugent, of course, having Michael Nugent back on, Michael Nugent, Not In My Name.
Yeah.
And all the others, there's not really much, and a lot of stupid videos that we got through for live pwnage. So yeah, it's been amazing, an amazing year, and hope to build in 2014.
Yeah. Alright, I don't know if Pumping, you're not part of Trolling with Logic as such, you do appear now and again.
Yeah, I'm just like that random drunken uncle that shows up to the family do shit face without any trousers saying, "Let's get this party started." I'm just, basically I show up and, you know, have a bit of fun and disappear again for a while, but, you know, having been watching the shows and et cetera, I have seen it come along in leaps and bounds in the entire time I've seen it, and it's just going from strength to strength, so stick around, keep watching, and hopefully the next time you see me, I'll be a full-fledged member stealing all of their money.
we don't have any money, so, yeah.
I don't mean that.
If you do steal our money, we'll be bloody impressed, because we don't have any.
Oh, no, and just for anyone who's confused, I'm not talking about, like, this whole big corporation that we've set up as part of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about you know, each and every single one of them's bank details, because I already have, you know, Marty's and Kitch's, but I'm working a little bit on Cal's, so, you know, soon I'll have his and Sarah's, and, you know, then I'll be rich. Ish.
Yeah.
I'm a student. I'd be very impressed if you could get rich off on what I'm earning.
Yeah.
Yeah. and... Just as a note, as always, we do have another podcast going now, the Antimatter Bandits, and I'm saying this because I did actually get a good few private messages, yes, the last time I mentioned it. Yeah, I know the website doesn't have anything on it at the moment. We're working on, that will be up in the new year. We're just going to record a few commentaries first, and then that'll be something to put into the podcast feed when it gets up and running, submitted to iTunes. If you don't know the Antimatter Bandits, it's basically a folk from Tool. We go and we do commentaries on bad movies.
So it has nothing to do with debunking stupidity, unless you count Hollywood stupidity.
Yeah.
It's just us having fun.
Yeah, it is. It's just like, cause, you know, in no bad way, doing the skepticism thing so regularly, it can burn you out sometimes. So it's a nice little side project. It's a little good bit of fun we can just relax with.
And so I'm actually thinking of expanding my video making into that area as well. I'm not sure if I'm going to start a separate channel for it or if I'm going to put it on the same. I haven't decided yet. But
we're
having fun in addition to being skeptics. It just so happens that we're all nerds too, you know.
It does. But I will want to say, just looking at the viewing figures tonight, I think we're going to seriously consider coming back to Vaughan because the viewing figures have been really good tonight.
Yeah.
They haven't been that great. The quality is better on Google Hangouts, plus the chat's just a lot better on here. That's the main and it's important for us to interact with the chat room.
Yeah, the chat on Google Hangouts is absolutely horrible.
Yeah, it's not even a chat, it's just...
Yeah, it's just comments.
Yeah. And apart from that, I don't know what else we can add. I've had questions as well about where Lundy is. Lundy has been seriously busy with work. I'm not going to give away to he works two jobs and they're basically conflicting at the times we have the shows on. But he's told me his shifts have lightened up and he'll be back in the new year as well. I think we've missed Lundy quite a bit, but Lundy, if you listen, don't take this, it's kind of helped us a little way and it's kind of brought our own skills forward. And we've all had to, we've always had to adapt to it because, Lundy did used to be the main voice of the show and it's helped us kind of get our interview skills sharpened up a bit as well.
Yeah, originally when I heard that he took up a heroin addiction, I was a little bit shocked and, I didn't know how to take it, but after I heard that,
when we saw the videos and the pictures of him with a who and behind the alley with a thing up the thing, it was a bit concerning. But I think he's worked on
this.
When we saw what he was doing for his next fix, it was a bit worrying, but then we realised it would help us grow as people.
Yes. But, Sheila brings up a good point there. We've got a few guests, too, are confirmed for the new year. We've got to lose Kitch right now. We'll see you later, Kitch.
See you later. Merry New Year, miss.
All right.
Bye.
But for the new year, we're back on, I think it's the 11th of January, and it's the rearranged show with Matt Delahunty, so a nice way to kick off the new year. Then after that, we have Abby Smith from the ERV blog, and... That'll be quite awesome to look forward to. We've also got the Humanist Association of Northern Ireland. They'll be on at some point, so that'll be that'll be an interesting conversation as well. Pumpkin will be very interested to speak to them. Also, we have John R. Shook, who wrote the book 50 Arguments from God, and that's another philosopher who's taken a critical look at all the pro and anti-God arguments and just given a critical eye over. And who else? That's it, really. Oh, Peter Bogossian, who we were scheduled to have on a few months ago, he will turn up. We will be rescheduling him. And so, still a lot of good guests. Please send us your feedback. Contact at throwingwilllogic.com. Fire us through a PM to any of us if you have any questions. And
And I would just like to say to guest 555. 55951643396. Your constant questions about us talking about Left 4 Dead is not only retarded, it's very irritating. Go fuck yourself.
Yes.
Don't worry, he says that to everyone.
Yeah, he tells me to go fuck myself every day.
Several times I've seen him do it. Horrifying.
Yep. So, thank you very, very much, everyone who's turned out tonight. We've enjoyed having you. It's been interesting, to say the least. But,
I do tend to bring a level of stunningly
sophistication.
Sophistication.
Yeah,
that's the nice way of putting it.
A great example of the wise nobility of the Irish nation.
I will try to better my people by showing the true colours of our lands, by striking forth into the internet and showing a true leader with which all people can rally behind and realise.
Where can you chat to us? We don't really have a chat room as such because we're not that big a show yet to have a constantly running chat room. If you want 559, if you do want to, it's contact@throwingwithlogic.com if you fire an email there, we'll be happy to talk to you. No problem at all. We don't mind at all. You know, and if you've got a question for anyone in particular, yeah, we're happy to answer questions.
And you can always comment on YouTube.
Yeah. YouTube.com/ZuluFightRunner. Like I say, go down below, you'll find it. There's also the Twitter, you can send us a message there. You can go to our Facebook as well. That's everything for this show and for 2013. If there is, Marty, have you got any announcements you want to make in regards to your own channel, you can go ahead.
Well, hopefully there will be a Why Do People Laugh at Spirit Science Part 12 before New Year's. Hopefully. I have we're almost finished with the apartment now. We got the wallpapers set up and all that, so I can actually spend time on making videos. Unfortunately, I don't have a studio set up where I can shoot yet. So that's the challenge here. The script is written.
Yeah.
So I just need to be able to shoot.
Okay. And Pumpkin, have you got any announcements in regards to your good self? And
while I won't say that I'm a lazy bastard in terms of my channel, I rarely upload, but I've decided recently I'm going to start going through old shows that I do, because I seem to come up with my best shit on the fly on live stream, so I'm just going to start going through my shows and just editing in the little bits of, you know, good things that I say and start uploading them in clips.
Yeah.
So if you want to see that, just go to my channel, subscribe, and I'm sure you'll regret it in 15 seconds.
Because you're also on the Antimatter Bandit as well from time to time. So.
For my crimes.
No, we don't do Twitcam, really. Basically, you'll catch us on YouTube and on here, and apart from that, that's what we, and the other podcasts, that's all we really do. We just, and Facebook, that's where you'll find us. We don't do a lot of the other kind of stuff. I mean, if Twitcam's another streaming service we'll look into, we're always looking for a good quality streamer. I mean, Vaughn seems to be the best of the lot from our experiments this year.
Yeah.
So I think really we do have to wrap it up this time.
Yes.
I say once more a big thank to the audience watching, and a very big thank you to the people in podcast land, because you've really made this show quite big this year, because that's something I forgot to mention. We got into the What's Hot section of iTunes. We would have featured on iTunes, and we're in the top 50 on iTunes in our section, which is incredible. I just can't believe that myself.
Yeah.
So thank you all very, very much. Whatever you're celebrating, Christmas or whatever, please have a really good one. Enjoy it. And we all wish everyone the very best new year, and we hope to see you. And we hope to be back with more good shows for you, more entertainment, and that's all I can say. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you in the new year.
Happy Zombie Jesus birthday.
Yeah, happy whatever.